shine, little Rover. Liver, liver, lead us.
Good evening and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You are tuned into KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I'm your host, Jill Spears, here with the gardeners. It's Lance and Lulu in the house. Howdy.
Good evening. How
are
you?
Hi, everybody.
Yeah.
Doing really good. How about you guys? Busy?
Busy.
Yeah, this is when I, for me.
This is the best.
Yeah, but there's all these little things, you know, oh, raspberries need to be harvested. Mm-hmm. Onions need to be harvested. That needs to be picked or weeded or planted.
One thing to another.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't have a plan. Every morning I just go out. Well, I do have a plan.
It.
Right. I've been trying to trim these roses for a week. And the intention is good, but then you go out there and somebody wants apples, and so you pick all the apples, and something needs watering. It's all that little odds and ends.
Yeah,
in the details.
Oh, look, that plant is falling over. The tomatoes need to be tied up again.
I know, just sitting here before the show, you two were a chatter with endless things going on.
Yes.
So, a lot going on, and we know you've got it going on, and probably have a question or two or just want to share information. So, Jeff's ready to take your call in there, and Lance and Lulu are here to do their best to answer it.
Right.
527.
Or you could stop the chump.
Try it. Just try it. 527-4868-1866. KVNF now. Worm at KVNF.org if you're partial to email. And one of our regular listeners, Marilyn, wrote into the email. She's not able to listen tonight, but she can catch the podcast on KVNF.org. And she's just talking about last week, we were talking about how so many different things are happening that we haven't seen for a while or seen before. And she's got this thing going on with her beets. And she sent a picture of that, and it looks like somebody made a trail in it or something.
Yeah, chewed away.
Chewed away.
Yeah,
what's going on there?
It's a slug. And then everybody else.
Yeah, once the skin of any type of root crop gets chewed on, the other guys, the sow bugs, the earwigs, they find homes there and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah, this is classic.
Yeah.
And it's classic, too, because the slug never even had to come above the ground, hardly.
Mm-hmm.
It was right down there just chewing away.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Never knew it was happening.
Yeah.
And that's just cosmetic. That beet is perfectly good to eat.
Right.
Just cut it out.
Yeah.
It's like the apples when the birds get on the apples.
Mm-hmm.
Just cut around
just cut it out.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
It's happening on my peaches. The birds are eating them.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't want to eat them?
Right. Oh, if they come to my peach tree, I'm going to war.
Yeah, my only complaint about birds is they don't eat the whole fruit.
Yeah.
They go from one to the next.
Yes, exactly.
That's my only
pick a fruit and stay with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Finish it off.
Come
exactly.
on, you guys.
Hey, we were talking about fruit dropping, and also, Lance, you were talking about color picking. What is that?
Well, color picking is picking the fruit as it ripens. Now, orchards prune differently, and they want everything to ripen at the same time, so they only go through the orchard once.
Right.
And color picking is usually done with stone fruit. It's not done the peaches and apricots, plums, and they actually ripen. They don't all ripen at the same time in the tree. And I don't prune mine the same as commercial orchards. So I'm color picking apricots. I have a late maturing apricot.
Mm-hmm.
And you start at the top and you just look for the color. You're not really squeezing them because that means you're bruising them.
Okay.
You're looking for color. And sometimes there's some that are so tight, I take one out.
Sure, especially up there at the top where you weren't able to thin.
So, and then some of the branches on this apricot, it went when I pruned it, the shoot was just fine. But now it's more like facing straight down. So I'm thinning some of those so that the branch doesn't break.
Sure.
So that's what I'm doing. And so technically you're picking the fruit as it ripens and stuff. So
tree ripened fruit, nothing better.
I've gone through that apricot tree 4 times already.
Oh, really? And you're sharing some apricots with us here tonight, and they are juicy.
Yeah.
Boy, that's some of the most juicy.
Yeah, I'm going to go pick in Carbondale tomorrow.
They're just coming on over there as well?
Yeah, well, they're on, and there are – they're up on the ranch, so they're up high. They're up Altitude's got to be close to 7,000,
I would think.
High. And they're ancient trees.
Wow.
That'll be fun.
Really old. And they make apricots all the time, just about every year.
Really? Wow. They're consistent?
Yeah,
huh?
They're pretty consistent.
They must just love that, wherever that patch is where they're sitting.
Is it a north face?
I don't know where this ranch is. You talk about it.
It doesn't matter. It's flat. Just it gets a lot of sun. And they've, like I said, have been there forever, and they're beautiful. They're beautiful old trees. And they just some years they freeze out, but a lot. They seem to get apricots more
regularly.
Than we do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, regularly.
Yeah. Well, it is the season. Let me give the phone numbers, 527-4868, 1-866 KVNF now. And talking about fruit dropping, like we were talking about pears. What's the ripeness?
Oh,
where are pears at
pears.
Right now?
Of course, it depends on varieties. And 2 weeks ago, I picked a variety of pear called Harrow Delight. And that's the one I might have mentioned a few weeks back got thinned by the windstorms. And what I do myself in the commercial orchards, they start picking them, and they have what's called a refractometer, and they squeeze the juice out of it, and it looks like a small telescope is what it looks like, and it has gauges on it, and it what it's measuring is the sugar content.
Okay.
And they test their pears for the right sugar content for harvesting, but at home I actually wait till I start seeing the pears drop.
Okay.
Because they're ready. And then I just pick the whole tree. I don't color pick those. I just pick the whole tree.
Pick the whole tree and then bring them inside. And then you color process them.
Yeah.
Because pears ripen from the inside out.
Yeah.
So they turn color. You have them all sitting out on your table. And, every day or other day you can go and get the ones that have just turned real yellow.
Yeah.
And those are the ones you work with, whatever you're going to do with them.
Yummy.
Dry them.
Yeah, so those need to be dried now, those pears that I got.
Eat them.
Yeah.
There's one of those details we were talking about. Yeah. Something else that's gotta happen.
At 4 in the morning tomorrow.
Right. There you go.
That's exactly it.
Because it's dark at 4 now.
Yeah, and that's exactly it, is right now you think you're going to do one thing, and you go out there, and you realize you have to do another.
Yeah.
Last night, Willie called me and said, Mom, I'm going to mow the alfalfa down in that field up there. If you want some for your infusion, you better come and get it right now. So I had to go harvest the alfalfa, then hang it all up. And then I still had to do apples. And
plenty to do, and the days are getting shorter.
And horizontal space is getting short.
Yeah, because what do you have storing? You wanted to talk a little bit about storing garlic, Lance.
Oh, I just wanted to mention the one last thing, detail on garlic this time of year is once you've cut the stem off and, you've dried it out, and I cut the stem off. I don't cut the roots off until I'm ready to either sell it or eat it. I leave the roots on.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. And you don't have to. This is just me.
It's just it's just your preference.
Yeah. I cut it off later. It's softer if you cut it off before it's completely dried out. But anyways, just one less thing to do when I'm really, really busy.
Right.
Okay. But put your garlic in a cool room.
Yeah.
Don't leave it out in the shed.
Storing and cool.
And so all of my garlic is in the spare bedroom.
There you go, your space, your space issue.
Yeah,
mine's been in the little potting shed, and it gets warm in there, but not for a lot of hours every day. So it's, but you're right, and that's one of my chores. I have to decide what I'm going to use to seed back and what I'm going to use for all the pesto that I'm going to make.
There you go.
Yeah,
yummy.
No, I've already done that.
You've figured that out.
You already
set aside 90 bowls of each. Variety.
Hey, do you remember Leisha last week was a listener over in the Front Range, and she emailed about that windstorm coming through and shredding her garlic.
Yeah.
And you were talking about doing some of these, what you're going to do with that, and then it wouldn't store. Anyway, she was happy to report that she's going to use them for seed, of course, and then dehydrate and make garlic powder to put some in, and put some in olive oil for later use.
Perfect.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Nice work. Mm-hmm. Perfect.
So garlic season winding down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, I haven't sorted mine yet into what I'm going to use because it's not a priority. It didn't get to the top of the priority list yet.
Yeah. I sort mine as soon as I can because I have people coming and they want garlic.
Ah, well,
so if I don't do it,
so you're motivated.
Yeah, so I, mm-hmm. you know.
That's what put it to the top of the list.
Yeah.
There you go.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Okay, give us a call, 527-4868-1866, KVNF Now. Weeding, watering, harvesting. Let's talk about what you're doing now when you're harvesting and how you're using those beds, because both of you are doing different things. Lulu, when you're pulled something out, you're doing a lot of mulching?
Yeah, I'm calling it good because I don't know how much water I'm going to have, and I want to protect the soil underneath, and I'll just mulch it heavily, mm-hmm. and then it'll preserve it. It doesn't dry out and get as
nasty.
You preserve the soil life, all the microbials and the worms and the stuff in there. And so I'm doing that, and I'm just going to wait and see what happens. And then when I want to plant things that, you know, if I decide I want to do some radishes or something, I'll just pull that mulch back mm-hmm. in the fall or spinach or whatever. I mean, I never do spinach, but, you know.
You could do spinach.
I could. Or I could do just let the lamb's quarter, you know, get my lamb's quarter seeds out and just do mm-hmm. a row of lamb's quarter.
Yeah.
So mulching for you, and Lance, you're right now doing, you've got some things that you replace, but you're going to go with buckwheat. Is that right?
Yeah. As I pull things out now, I'm planting buckwheat. I'm not planting any more food crop.
Right.
Just buckwheat. And then as it gets cooler in September, I'll change from buckwheat to field pea.
Okay.
As I pull things out.
That would be a cover crop?
Yeah, it'd be a cover crop. It's not mm-hmm. frost tolerant. Maybe a light frost, but not a hard frost. So I will turn that in at some point.
Do you switch your cover crops up year by year, or do they cycle pretty much the same?
They pretty much cycle the same. And I'm really not that much of a cover crop person.
Okay.
I do some, you know, but I'd rather do this late summer and fall one. The problem that I've found with the, say, winter rye or Austrian winter pea is when you go to till it in or work it into the soil next spring, it takes a long time to break down. And you want to be planting.
Right.
Oh, yeah. You know, and then there's that.
Yeah. So that's why I did it. I had a rye cover crop where I planted the corn, but the corn's planted late.
Right.
Yeah. So it was fine. But that's why I generally don't do it. The other thing that I'm doing is like, what do I say? I already planted for the fall, and that bed was the early bed of spinach that I had.
Oh,
and it's all been completely dug, weeds out, grass out, tilled in, raked out, and it's all completely planted in, finocchio, beets, kohlrabi, daikons, lettuce, spinach. There's even some, my friend Jan from Grunson wanted to plant some, Napa cabbage.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice.
So there's some of that got planted. And there's one section left, and that's going to be planted in China rose radishes, which is a daikon, a red daikon. And that's so I can grow it out for seed next year. So I'm not going to eat those. That's a seed crop.
Wow.
Good idea. See, so where I had my garlic, I pulled all the garlic, and the sorrel is also in that little bed, and it's a little bed, and it gets shaded by the barn, the building in mm-hmm. the back. So I'm just going to mulch it for now, and then in the spring, like I was saying, if I want to do radishes, because I was thinking about that too, I'll do radishes, and then they'll be gone, and then I'll put the squash there later on.
Yeah.
And by that time, the sun is high enough to where the building isn't affecting everything, and it's a good system.
That is a good system.
You just have to really pay attention.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go, because you figure out where that sun is and where it is at different times of the season.
Of the season,
And how to reuse or plan on reusing
those especially
beds.
If you just have a small, confined space. If you have a big big open space like Lance does, or, you know, other people have big gardens that are out in the open, that's a different story altogether.
Well, where I grew the peas, snow peas for seed last year, that's planted in a late planting of basil. And there's kohlrabi in there and round black Spanish radishes.
Oh, my basil is gorgeous. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. I got three plantings of basil this year.
Yeah? My cilantro is doing fabulous. And I made cilantro pesto.
Ooh, oh, that nice. Sounds yummy.
It is. It's okay. It's kind of not super tasty. You would think it would have that real cilantro flavor, but I think the cheese kills it. So I guess milder cheese might be the way to go.
Could be. But you also have the great basil and your sorrel
basil,
which is,
and
you compare that taste.
To Betsy. You know, so my main pestos are the sungold tomato with parsley. Oh, the parsley decided to do its thing. I'm so excited.
Thank you, parsley.
I'm so happy. So I'm going to have plenty of parsley for the tomatoes when they get ripe. And that's one pesto. And then the other one is basil, the other one is sorrel, and the other one is arugula.
Yeah, that's some nice pesto supply.
After
there.
That, if you can go buy a bag of noodles, you're good.
Yeah.
You're going to eat.
Yeah, no kidding.
Bag of noodles and a bottle of wine, you're done.
Yeah.
Dinner in a flash.
Yeah, I like how you think.
Yeah, it's easy and it's delicious and it's lots of nutrition.
Yeah, and there's so much good food coming out of this valley now. Heavens, I mean, really.
It really gets spoiled.
Well,
I was talking about this with a friend of mine, and you totally notice the difference between eating your food that's right here, right? You know,
real food.
You go real. It's all real, but boy, you know.
Yeah.
The difference between something that's in a grocery store and something that's in our grocery stores that just came off of somebody's farm.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm. The energy in the food is completely different.
You're right about that. That's an interesting way to put it.
Yeah.
One of the things you did, Lance, is pulled your tomatoes out. What happened there?
Oh, what happened?
Well, they got diseased.
Oh,
the leaves got diseased. And,
oh, that's right. You said, wait, you never grow tomatoes.
I grow.
Right.
Oh, I'm
going to
stop
four,
saying tomato and say tomato.
I grow four to six tomato plants. And I'm mainly using them to dry.
Token tomato plants.
Yeah.
And, see, that's why.
And this year they just
leaf
disease. So.
You know, you're all so worried about all your other stuff. We're out of here.
Only four of us?
Only
four. Should there be 40?
Four against all of this? Yeah. I'm done.
Yeah.
That's what they said, Lance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you think the culprit was blossom and rot?
Well, there was blossom and rot, which isn't that was one of the things, but it was there was a leaf. It was a blight or something.
Uh-huh.
So it was just
that
you
happens.
Just,
oh,
yeah.
What was
and
that
tomatoes.
Blight we were talking about last year? That southern Georgian was in the soil. Was that with potato or tomato?
I forget if.
Yeah, I
did think
too.
It was tomatoes, but I remember.
But everybody was having a problem with it. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't last year, it was a couple of years ago. Yeah.
But I took them out and I got all the space here, and it's like, I can plant more spinach here. So I'm going to do one last planting of spinach. And I grew that spinach out for seed.
Right.
And it's called Winter Giant. And it has really big, 12-inch leaves, and it's a smooth leaf. And I'm going to plant that.
I am going to plant a new row of dandelions.
Okay. Oh, are you really?
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah, because my dandelions are, the leaves are too small now. So I'm going to plant some.
Uh-huh. The plants have gotten old.
So you plant that now? You plant that as a fall crop to, what's the timing
of that? I thought
I
might plant it now, and then it'll be, super ready to go next year.
Mm-hmm.
I just haven't decided 100% on the spot yet, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you use that for greens, salads, tea?
Yeah, what? I love it. I really like dandelion, and I use it in my tea that I drink every day.
Oh, yeah.
My infusion thing.
Good for your tummy.
Yeah, it's really good for your tummy
mm-hmm.
and your kidneys.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's good. So
Nice.
Yeah.
More dandelions
More
in
dandies,
town.
More dandies, I know, right? A whole row.
That's sweet.
But it's easy to take care of them, and it's easy mm-hmm. to keep them from spreading.
Right.
Yeah. You know, because right. it's not like I have, like Lance has, 60 feet of them. I just have...
You have them confined.
Yeah. You know. And when they go to seed, as soon as you see the little flowers, you pop them off, and voila.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about it.
Nice.
Yeah. Works.
So what are people doing out there? Working in their garden or... Hello out there.
No, they're having a beverage and pretending that there's water and everything and it's going to rain.
Well, yeah. 527-4868-1-866-KVNF now. All right. Let's talk about...
Where is everybody? Come on, you guys.
Wait a second. I think we have a caller. Our little communication system is rather archaic tonight. But hello, caller. Welcome.
Do we have a caller?
Yeah, Jeff's giving hand signals.
Oh.
No. Now he says we don't have a caller.
Okay.
All right, we'll be back at that.
I wanted to just make a comment on last week from Hope talking about the ivy. The poison ivy.
That's right.
This mm-hmm. is just a thought.
Yeah.
Things are pH sensitive, and that's acid soil. And out there, why not make it alkaline? Why not cut those stalks off and put some rock salt on them?
Okay.
Just right on the stalks.
Well, that'll kill anything.
Yeah.
It's
just a thought.
Okay, that's a great thought that came to you.
Yeah.
It's a really good idea, too. And the other thing is, I was taking this class from somebody, and they said the only way you can really permanently affect the alkalinity or the whatever of your soil is the pH is your water.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, I think we have that caller back on the line.
Do.
So let's see who's out there. Hello, caller.
Hello. Are you there?
Yes. Yeah. Hi. Who are we speaking with?
Hi. This is Rick.
Hi, Rick.
Montrose.
In Montrose. Hi. What's nice. Going
yeah.
on?
Well, I got an apple question.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
I've got an apple tree that has it looks like it's loaded. It is loaded. Looks like it's been hit by a spring snowstorm. And I'm wondering if it's too late to knock some of those apples off so they increase in size.
No, go right ahead.
Get after it.
Right now they're about silver dollar size. And
Yeah, the only thing that it's perfectly good to do that, okay, and all that stuff, but the reason why you thin early also is so it makes fruiting spurs for next year. So you might be a little late on that scene, but yeah, what's going to happen if those all ripen and get big and ripen, you're going to have broken branches.
Yeah, well, they're not, I don't think they're going to get big if I don't knock some of them off.
Yeah.
They're still going to be way... I feel for you, man, because my little big mama is doing the same thing. She's so loaded, and I can't thin them because they're 20 feet
way
up,
too high.
30 feet
right,
up.
Right, and that's a deal with some of these is that these apples I don't know what kind they are. They're just red, but
that's an apple.
Yeah, they're an apple, and they don't get very big. But they get bigger than a silver dollar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I just wondered if it was too late to make a difference and for them to grow. They're not ripe yet.
Lance, you went out there with a hoe and...
I went out there today at a client's outside of Peonia, and I actually took a hoe and just dragged it across the apples.
Mm-hmm.
Just to thin it. But they were 3 inches or more.
Oh,
oh
my goodness.
They were huge.
Wow.
It was actually for this size. You know, how much was there? It was just amazing to see that they're that thick in there.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, I don't know why they're that thick. I have a pear tree that annually puts out like 2 pears. But, I mean, they're good pears, but it's just...
All two of them.
Yeah. I suspect you need a pollinator for that pear.
I do, too.
You'd have to find out what kind and then get the pollinator.
Well, it's green. I don't know.
Yeah.
I love but, this bag. It's yeah, green. It's
yeah,
red.
Yeah. But anyways, go and thin them. And you can, you know, do whatever manner with your hands, with a stick. You can get up there with the ladder. I like using little scissor pruners.
Mm-hmm.
You don't like that.
Well, I don't want to put too much effort in it. I'll just take a broom and
yeah.
There
knock
you go.
Them down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sweep
whack
them
then the kids can
bit.
Pick them up.
Yeah.
There you go. Whack at it a little bit and you'll be
or
fine.
Or the birds can eat them. I don't know. They're good. They taste really good. But the wasps and bees and, mm-hmm. you know, critters, worms get in them. And,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Once.
Yeah.
You know, worms taste like an apple, so it's all right.
Go for it, Rick.
Yeah.
All right. I just wondered if it was too late.
Nope.
To
go
make
for
a
it.
Difference. And so, okay, good.
All right.
Then that's the job for tomorrow.
Okay, there you go. All right, Rick, thanks for listening. Okay. Yeah. Thanks for your call.
Nice
all
work.
Right.
Bye.
You guys are great.
Thank
that
you.
That was fun.
The, you know, one other thing, Rick, you want to make sure that when your apples do hit the ground, you want to get the kids to pick them up or, you know, rake them up or something. I'm going to have that problem. I have already
right.
that problem with my plums. Yeah, you get them off the ground because you harbor so many extra uninvited guests
mm-hmm.
to the party.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
exactly.
slugs, earwigs.
Bacterias and molds.
Bacterias and molds and, you know, yeah. slime and all that. So just pick them up.
And are we just throwing that in our compost pit? Is that what we're doing with all that?
Yeah, I do.
Uh-huh. Yeah. 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 Yeah, pigs. They'll like
mm-hmm.
it.
Chickens. Eat it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody loves it, so.
All right,
good.
Keep it clean. Keep
mm-hmm.
it cleaned up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we have time for another call. 527-4868-1866, KVNF now. You were mentioning pollinators on that pear tree for Rick
mm-hmm.
Lanson. The bees are really liking your corn pollen right now.
Oh, yeah. Oh. The bees love corn pollen.
Yeah, because they can get a lot of it all at once.
All at once. And they're not getting nectar. This is corn. This is pollen. They're collecting pollen.
Mm-hmm.
And their little sacks or whatever they put on the back legs are just solid.
Yeah.
Yeah, big. And they just really, really like it. And
I'm laughing because I saw one having a hard time taking off. It was like...
you know,
that funny. Heavy, huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
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 He was loaded.
And they're not pollinating. They're just collecting pollen.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
They're not because...
Oh, right. They're just collecting it.
But because corn is wind pollinated, and so the pollen falls, goes in the wind, gets blown around, and each a grain of pollen touches one of those silks from the ear, and that corresponds to one kernel of corn.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's a great. Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And so that's why you want wind. That's why you want...
your corn in a block.
In a block mm-hmm. and not a single row.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Share that pollination.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Hey, we got an email just in from John who says, but no beans yet. What's up?
Beans?
Mm-hmm. Not sure what kind of wheat beans. Too hot.
Mine are flowering. But yeah. they're in a coolish spot.
I'm getting some green beans, but the male part of the flower does not like superheat.
Mm.
And we mentioned this last week.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah. So I got more blossoms on the ground than I actually have beans in the pole beans.
Right.
Yeah, they'll come on though. Are they and they're probably pole I don't know, if they're pole beans, oh God, once they start coming on in another week or two.
They're gonna go nuts. Whew.
Yeah, mm-hmm. you can't keep up.
Just keep them moist, and you know, you might try spraying them with kelp, which
is that's what you recommended last week
for stress related things, and and you might try some other varieties that are from really hot climates.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the thing. Yeah. We're going to have to adapt here,
right?
Clearly,
right? Change things up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
tweak them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh well.
Yeah.
Hey, do you guys remember, I want to remind everybody that that San Miguel Extension Office is having a summer horticulture class in insect identification and pollination, and that's happening next August 15th from 1 to 5 p.m. at the Norwood Firehouse. That really sounds good. going to be identifying insects that we see around the garden and the mm-hmm. yard. So you can get more information by calling 970-327-4393. Some good classes going on.
Sure.
August 15th. Gosh, what mm-hmm. am I doing? See, I wish I should go. I love those. You see the coolest stuff, and you learn so much.
Right.
So worth it. Mm-hmm. You know what bug I have a lot of? Those elm bugs.
Oh my gosh, no kidding. God, they're everywhere.
Santa
All in
Maria.
The house and everywhere.
And not so many ladybugs this year.
I haven't seen many ladybugs, you're right. Yeah.
No. Not many ladybugs, but those skinks are taking care of everything.
Yeah, you've got the patrol going on this summer, don't you?
The skinks are having a wonderful time.
That's great.
Do you think you could breed them and start a program right? and sell them off?
We were just talking about that at lunch.
Let's do it.
Uh-huh. I have a friend in California, and he, by chance, you know, we were always growing up catching lizards and snakes and stuff like that. And so he started feeding his bluebellies or lizards that we had quite common out there. Mealworms. You can buy these in the grocery
pet store.
Yeah. And they have become tame. And he says it's like the third or fourth generation. And all these lizards are waiting for him or his wife to go out and put the mealworms out so they can.
Nice.
And, okay.
It, and even one time, one of the lizards came up and scratched on the sliding glass.
I love it. Yeah.
So, you know, they figure it out. You know, so yeah, you could probably do it.
So then you could just like Pied Piper them, you know, put a little trail of mealworms right into the little box, and then close the lid and say, "Okay, here you go."
The striped skinks are really fast.
Uh-huh.
That'd be really hard to catch them.
But they're fast, and they're fast on taking care of those grasshoppers for you, right? That's what you got.
I want some.
The help with, I know. Yeah. Ship them over to this neck of the woods.
They like it hot.
Yeah, they do.
Right. Hot and sun.
Uh-huh.
And she might be warm, but she's in the shade.
Oh.
Yeah.
I got hot and sun.
Yeah.
I don't have much sun.
All right. Lots going on. Keep it busy for the rest of the week. And looks like sunshine and not much water, so do what you can. Mulch, right?
Mulch.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Kelp.
Yep.
Kelp for stress. Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
And have fun with it.
And muddle through.
Muddle through.
Something will come up for you. Something will happen.
Yep. It's Lady Lou with One Woman's Perspective coming up next. Thanks for listening to As the Worm Turns on KVNF.
Good night, everybody.
Yeah. Have a good evening out there.
I got a gal that I love so. Low, little low, and low.